The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts, and the plenty of facts we have tonight. A little more than meets the eye on this third-party bad faith ban issue where they're going to take your rights away. A little more than meets the eye. I made a phone call earlier today. I talked to a lawyer buddy of mine. We're going to have to kind of work through this sort of slowly, but that's okay. But you know that uninsured motorist coverage you carry because you have to? That underinsured motorist coverage that you carry if you're smart? Guess what? Once third-party bad faith goes down the toilet, you're going to be giving the insurance companies free money on that UM and UIM coverage. Now, work with me. Here's how it goes. Say somebody with $20,000 worth of insurance. They've got $20,000 worth of insurance coverage, and they hit you. And it's their fault. There's no doubt. The guy that hit you was looking down, dialing a cell phone to call his OxyContin dealer while he was swigging on a bottle of tequila when he hit you from the rear. Okay? It's his fault. Not even a question about it. And his insurance company knows that it's his fault. Meanwhile, because of what he did, you've racked up, a nice round $100,000 in medical bills. Okay? The other guy's insurance company's on the hook for $20,000 of it because that's as much coverage as they've got for the other guy. And let's say they offer you $12,000. And then they say, hey, take it or leave it. We don't care. Now, a minute ago we were talking about underinsured motorist coverage. That's what you carry this stuff for. All right? Now, you're going to be needing that underinsured motorist coverage since the other guy's insurance is only offering $12,000 and you've got 100 large in bills. Still with me? Bills that the hospital wants paid yesterday. Bills that the hospital has already ruined your credit over. Bills that you won't be able to get rid of with a bankruptcy now. Bills that your health insurance won't pay because it was a car wreck and there's car insurance involved, so therefore the health insurance company says, we're not eating that. Is this making sense so far? Yeah, you're going to need that underinsured motorist coverage. Yeah, but there's a catch. Oh, there's always a catch. Catch 22. Some catch that catch 22. It's the best there is. Here's the catch. Under the law of this state, as long as you don't get the whole $20,000 out of the other guy's insurance, you can't even make a claim against that underinsured coverage that you've paid for. Don't you just love how these guys work? Geniuses. So when the other guy's insurance says $12,000, take it or leave it, and you know, you're looking at $100,000 in bills and you're getting the collection agency calls and all of that garbage. You know, you could maybe pay it if you could collect that underinsured that you've been paying for. But, of course, the other guy's insurance is saying $12,000, take it or leave it. Now, what are you going to do? Well, for the next week or so, or until the bill passes and gets signed by the governor, you can still sue the other guy's insurance company in bad faith, okay? You can make them pay what they owe. Then you can go after that underinsured coverage that you've been paying for years. But once that bill gets signed into law, and you can't sue in bad faith anymore, and they take away your right to sue the other guy's insurance company, those days are gone. And, you know, it used to be that if you were claiming against your own insurance, you could sue them in bad faith for sure if they messed with you. But since you couldn't even qualify to sue the other guy's company, you're not even going to be a blip on the radar screen to your own. Here's a fun little part. What if they're both the same company, the other guy's and yours? Is there any way that they can deal with you in good faith? Of course not. So they've just taken away one right. And in doing so, while you weren't looking, they've taken away a whole bunch of other ones. And they've drowned the rest of your insurance rights in the bathtub. And the other guy's insurance company just laughs. And your insurance company just laughs. And you go bankrupt. And you're in agony. But you go bankrupt and you ask the bankruptcy judge to let you out from under your medical bills. And the bankruptcy judge just laughs. And Shelley Moore just laughs. And Tom DeLay just laughs. And George Bush just laughs. And Karl Rove, oh man, Karl Rove just laughs. And then he puts out another warning about the queers destroying marriage and Procter & Gamble releasing new Ten Commandments-shaped toilet paper. By God, that is efficiency in government. But it's not an efficiency that we need. Do you understand now? It's not just one right they're taking away from you. It's a whole bundle of them. But they're going to give you $8 a month reduction in your premiums. Woohoo! And, you know, we've been told time and time and time again that the new slogan is West Virginia open for business. Isn't it more like West Virginia open for insurance companies? I guess we can forget about that whole Montani Semper Liberi. What the hell is that anyway? Always free in Montana? Montana has a library? I don't know. Can you still sue an insurance company in Montana? Latin. West Virginia, open for business. Brother. So, there's that. You doubt me? Don't doubt me, I'm right on this. I'm most always correct. But, you know, if you have to have it proven to you, well, you can let them take away your rights and then you can learn the hard way. Huh. And, we'll get into the rest of it after we come back from our break. If you want to get involved in the show, the number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Learn it, know it, use it. We'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There are three things you get at L&S Toyota. Great prices, big selection, no hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. L&S Toyota has brand new 2005 Corollas, over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 factory rebate. Buy a brand new 2005 Camry, over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 factory rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax, tag, and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Example, 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing with zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05.
Your MacArthur Walmart store will be opening soon, and Walmart is hiring. Join the world's best retailing team, recognized by Fortune magazine as the most admired company in the world. As a member of the Walmart team, you'll receive competitive wages and enjoy benefits including merchandise discounts, 401k, stock purchase plan, profit sharing, health benefits, and career advancement opportunities. Just come by Walmart's hiring center located at 158 Dye Drive in the Harper Industrial Park weekdays between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. or call 252-2138. Walmart, an equal opportunity the employer.
Trinity Christian Academy is dedicated to educating the whole child. Trinity Christian Academy has loving, caring teachers who are trained to challenge students to attain academic excellence. With pre-K through 8th grade in a great new facility on Pinewood Drive in Beckley, Trinity Christian Academy is a great place for your child. Call today for information at 254-9600. Trinity Christian Academy, 224 Pinewood Drive, just above the Bank of Mount Hope in Beckley. Call Trinity Christian Academy today at 254-9600.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. I wasn't kidding. The bankruptcy bill is all but done now. And little do you know it, but so are you. I mean, look at some of the things the Republicans who were hell-bent, these Senate Republicans were hell-bent on passing this pro-credit card bill. And they were so, well, you know, they showed us who they really are if we bother to look. Consider some of the amendments to the bill that were thrown out. Dick Durbin, Illinois, I think it was, proposed an amendment to the bill that would have given a break to soldiers under this new horrific bankruptcy rewrite. To soldiers, remember? All of you with the little, your little Chinese plastic yellow magnet ribbons says support the troops that you got on the back of your big gas guzzling SUV. Remember that? Yeah, those troops. Dick Durbin, a Democrat, not a Republican, sweetheart, a Democrat, said, you know, we need to give these guys at least a break. And the Republicans, the support the troops Republicans, said, no, we've got our marching orders and our support of the troops ends where that opening in the credit card industry's wallet begins. So that amendment was defeated. They proposed an amendment regarding medical bills and people who had been destroyed by catastrophic illness. And the pro-family Republicans said, no, gonna stomp the life out of that one too, because our concern for family values ends where that opening in the credit card company's wallet begins. And then this one from, it was introduced by Senator Nelson of Florida, a Democrat, that would, get this, you remember the Republicans are tough on crime, right? And they're all about victims' rights, right? Well, whatever. This amendment was offered to exempt debtors from means testing if their financial problems were caused by identity theft, in other words, fraud, a crime. And the pro-victim Republican Party said, no, we don't care about them that much, because our concern for victims of crime and identity theft ends where the crack in the wallet of the credit card companies begins. And, by the way, just so you'll know, this amendment, it only had 37 yays, 37 Democrats. Our good friend Joe Biden, Democrat, voted against it. Just amazing. Just amazing. And another alleged Democrat, Jeff Bingaman from New Mexico, he voted against it too. But Joe Biden, who has those 08 stars in his eyes, he voted against victims of theft, victims of catastrophic medical illness. He voted against veterans. Brother, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But moreover, it's the Republicans doing this, okay? They're getting some Democratic help, but the Republicans are doing it. And what are they telling you? What are they telling America's families that they think about them? What are they telling you about what happens when financial hell erupts? They're telling you they don't care. So here it comes. Here it comes. Let's go to the phones. Brian's been waiting. Hey, Brian, you're head on.
How's it going, Bob?
Doing pretty good.
I was just wondering on this third party bad faith insurance thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's only six states that have that enacted right now, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in the states that, you know, all the other states, 44 states that don't have it, what you're talking about is not a problem and doesn't happen.
No, the fact that the people don't have the rights doesn't mean it's not a problem, Brian. Do you think people enjoy getting jerked around by insurance companies?
Well, you know, if you have $20,000 worth of insurance, or I don't know what state limits are now, but if that's what you have, that's what the company has to pay. I mean,
it doesn't have to pay. They can lowball you, Brian. I mean, just because somebody who has $20,000 worth of insurance hits you doesn't mean they're going to just pony up 20 large. They're going to lowball you because until you reach that $20,000 threshold, if that's the limit, until you reach that, you can't touch your own coverage. And what if you do have $100,000 in bills?
Well, which is not inconceivable now with, you know, $50,000 and $60,000 vehicles being on the road.
Well, never mind the property. I'm not even talking about the property damage. I'm telling, say you get a compound fracture in your leg or, you know, an organ is critically injured. It doesn't take long to rack up $100,000 in the hospital. You can do it in a couple of days under certain circumstances.
It's what averages, days is $100,000 now. I'm not sure. Not in ICU or anything. Just 8 days on the floor, I believe.
Yeah.
Is what the national average
is. You say 44 states don't have it. I say, what a pity for the consumers in those 44 states where their own representatives have already sold them out to the insurance industry.
Well, you know, they're throwing other legislation. I don't know. But, yeah, they know that.
Brian, I think you're going to have to call back because we're losing your cell, man. I apologize. Consider that, though. I'm not concerned with the other 44 states. I'm concerned with here. We are put upon six different ways from Sunday, and we're going to give another break to the insurance industry. I just want an answer. Who's more important in West Virginia, families or insurance companies? Who is more important? Because, you see, I'm not kidding what I told you about. That's not a joke. If you can't collect from the other guy's insurance, you are going to lose the ability to collect against your own. What are you going to do if these guys take your rights away? Who do you care more about? Hey, Brian, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I just love this technology age that we live in.
What, did you? Are you holding your arm just right, and you got a little piece of foil in the other hand there?
Well, now I'm standing on one leg and leaned way over to the left, so if you hear a thud, that's just me falling over.
All right, that works.
But, no, I think a lot of the problem that we've run into is the extravagance of the lawsuits. You know, you hit me, you've got $100,000 worth of coverage, and I can sue you for pain and suffering, you know, for $15 million, and then, you know, a lawyer taking 40% of that.
Now, back up. If there's $100,000 worth of coverage, $100,000 is as much as the insurance company is on the hook for. That's why they're called limits. Okay?
But they've paid a whole lot more to people for stuff, too.
No, they seldom pay outside their limits, Brian. They very seldom pay outside their limits. This third-party bad faith, it's such a crisis. We're being told it's a crisis, right? It's an insurance crisis. And yet, you do know how many were filed last year, third-party bad faith suits.
Don't know the number. It was, 100 and some, I think?
128. And that's the number that were filed. That's not the number that were paid on. These guys are lying to us again, Brian. You know, I don't mind negotiating with someone at arm's length, as I'm sure you don't.
Right.
But don't come in here lying to me to begin with and expect me to take you seriously.
Well, I'm getting to where I don't trust government, period.
Well, in this case, it's not necessarily the government, because there are people in government who are, you know, who actually believe that insurance companies are something besides slime, and of course, and they think they're being honest with them. In this case, the insurance company has come in and done the same thing that they did with the so-called crisis in medical malpractice. They have completely manufactured it. It's utterly made up. There is no reality to it whatsoever.
Well, I'll disagree with you on the medical malpractice when the doctors walked out in. the northern part of the state, where was it, Wheeling?
Yeah.
I mean, they had one. They were interviewing one on TV, and he had his pay stub from the hospital. You know, it showed $1 million for what he had been paid for the year, working 7 hours a day or 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, doing heart surgeries. He was a heart surgeon. $1 million is what this man was paid. $600,000 was what was taken out in taxes. He had $400,000 left over.
In taxes?
In taxes.
We're talking about insurance here.
But listen to what I'm saying. In taxes. His malpractice insurance, he stuck his policy up in the camera, too. His pay on his policy was $450,000. He worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and lost $50,000.
Well, I think somebody's fudging the numbers there, for starters, because I don't know any doctors that are living on negative 50 grand. Secondly, so what? The premiums are set by the insurance companies, okay?
Right.
And we've proven time and time and time again that they have absolutely no relation to litigation whatsoever. At the time they were talking about medical malpractice crisis, medical malpractice actions had actually decreased by several percent in West Virginia over the period of time that was discussed. They lie. That's what insurance companies do. Their job is to take your money from you and never pay it out if they can possibly get away with it. And this is what they're trying to get away with, Brian, is not paying West Virginians what they owe them under the law. And I'm not willing, you know, I guess I'm going to get my rights taken away from me, but I'm going to scream while they're being taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to remember the ones who took it.
Well, hopefully more people will. Like I said, you know, like I've mentioned before with Rockefeller, you know, and him stripping the non-union coal and breaking the UMWAs back in the early 80s. You know, it would be great if more people remembered that and would get his hind end out of office. But he's still there.
But not to replace him with one of these Taliban Christianity right-wing nut weirdos that'll go up there. You know, at least Jay voted with you, Brian. Jay voted your interests in this credit card debacle. He voted for soldiers to get to at least get some degree of decency in treatment in this bankruptcy bill. He voted for people who have had catastrophic illnesses to be decently treated. He voted for people who have been victims of identity theft to be decently treated. He voted with us.
Well, I can see we needed some bankruptcy reform.
Why?
Because it was entirely too easy in general.
You ever been through one?
Yes.
Not easy. I mean, I've never been through it, but I tell you what, the people I know, they don't tell me it's easy because their credit gets ruined. It's dead for 10 years.
That's not necessarily true. What happens with a bankruptcy, you actually look better as far as paper is concerned because of the income to debt ratio. And if you start reestablishing within 6 months of the bankruptcy, within 3 years, you can have an A1 credit rating all over again.
Well, and that was good for you, wasn't it?
It was a good thing that I was able to do it, yes.
Well, it was good for you. It was good for a lot of other Americans. But the Republicans in the Congress have just said that no matter how good it was for them, they don't get to do it anymore because they're taking the money from the credit card companies.
No, you know, but I don't agree with the rich get all the perks. I mean,
I don't agree with
the Republican Party on that, no. You know, I don't think that just because you have, say, you know, $15 million a year in income that you should be able to walk away scot-free from everything.
Well, the rich will get to walk away under this bankruptcy bill. I'm not kidding, Brian. But we, you know, the people that get up and go to work every day, we're gonna take the pounding. And I resent it, and I hate them for it.
Well, just like Manchin's done us with the workers' comp thing. You know, we're going to get pummeled and throttled there, too, next year when, along in November when the gas company always asks for the big hike increases and they're granted them. I can guarantee you if they're paying 6% instead of 2%, it'll translate into probably 20 or 30 by the time it gets to us next year.
I wouldn't be surprised, but, you know, at least give credit where credit's due. You know, there are people who stood up with us on this bankruptcy nightmare, Jay Rockefeller did, and he deserves credit for standing with ordinary West Virginians when it would have been ever so easy just to stand with people who are every bit as rich as he is. Brian, we got to roll. Thanks a lot.
All righty.
Later. Okay, time for a bottom-of-the-hour break. A little news update from Carl Mack, followed by information from the Workers Independent News Service. And we'll come back. Your phone calls at 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
On. Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Rodell police officer has been arrested on charges of domestic battery and brandishing a weapon involving the mother of his child. Mayor Josephine Cox said Officer Daniel Ray Price from Beckley will be fired. Price turned himself in to Beckley police yesterday after an officer notified him an arrest warrant had been issued. Beckley patrolman J.D. Perry said the charges stem from domestic violence complaints against Price last month, including one incident which occurred at Raleigh General while he was in uniform. Price was released yesterday after posting a $1,000 bond. If convicted, he faces up to 12 months jail or a $500 fine on the domestic battery charge, and up to a year in jail and a fine of up to $1,000 on the brandishing charge. For the second time in a month, a Raleigh County bank was robbed yesterday, and for the second time, the suspect was nabbed. Earl Moore of Glen Rogers allegedly walked into the Whitesville State Bank in Crab Orchard around 10 yesterday morning, waved a gun, and demanded the teller hand over cash. Moore then fled on foot to a Mercury Sable, parked close by, and drove about a half mile before he skidded into a snowy ditch on Selden Street. Leaving the cash in the trunk of the car, Moore walked back to the shopping plaza where the bank is located. He was then arrested by sheriff's detectives about 10 minutes after the robbery. Governor Manchin's highway safety director says he's against any change to West Virginia's mandatory helmet law. Bob Tipton told the Senate Transportation Committee yesterday that anyone involved in highway safety would be opposed to relaxing that law. Governor Manchin has lent his support to attempts to ease the law that would allow motorcyclists to ride without helmets in certain situations. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. For this evening, partly cloudy, and tonight, partly cloudy, there's a chance of snow flurries again after midnight. It's going to be cold again tonight, too, with a low 17. Then for Thursday, partly cloudy, with temperatures only in the upper 30s again tomorrow. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
A 3.5-year struggle between a coalition representing Immokalee tomato farmers and Taco Bell has finally ended with the company vowing to work for the betterment of workers' rights throughout the industry. The company has promised to pay a penny per pound of tomato surcharge and to help raise farm labor standards by lobbying other major fast food players alongside the coalition.
It represents immediate change, but also represents hope for the future.
Julia Perkins is a representative of the coalition. She says that in the immediate future, the workers and the coalition plan to celebrate the victory, but the long-term goal is to convince the rest of the industry to respect the human rights of their workers.
We feel like it should be a no-brainer now, since Taco Bell and Yum Brands decided to do it. It should be an easy sell to some of the other fast food chains.
The president of Teamsters Local 830 in the Hatboro, Pennsylvania area is facing a March 17th court date after being arrested and having his camera seized at a borough council meeting. Joe Brock Jr. says he was at the meeting on behalf of a Teamsters member being fired by Hatboro. Brock allegedly refused to sit down while seeking answers on the status of the worker, and he was arrested.
They claimed I would not sit down. They physically removed me. They arrested me. They cuffed me. They stole my. They wrestled my camera out of my hand. I'm also a member of the press. They took my camera out of my hand, and they've yet to return my camera. They printed me, took my mugshot, the whole nine yards.
Brock says he'll vigorously defend himself and the Teamsters will defend the worker in an effort to get the worker his job back.
For the employee, we've got the Pennsylvania Labor Relations Board, who we now have to wait for them to hear his case. We're going to set up some rallies at the council president. We're going to meet him at church Sunday with some leaflets explaining to his congregation what he's doing to working families. We've got our joint councils and the AFL-CIO in this area that are putting out notices. A lot of people are coming to this gentleman's aid.
Brock says the worker, Brent Sein, was fired for union activity.
There's a council that's doing this because an employee exercised their free choice to join a union, and they just cannot accept that, and they're going to do everything in their power to put an end to it.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Having a odd work shift may not be as odd as it used to be. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, nearly a fifth of the workforce hit the time clock outside of the hours between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. That works out to roughly 24 million Americans, an increase of 11% since 1991 for white-collar workers and 6% for blue-collar. Reasons cited include better pay, spending time with family, and the need to gain experience.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. About 23 minutes before 8 o'clock here in beautiful, not quite so snowy uptown Beckley. For sure, I promise you, last night was a real joy going home. I mean, I thought it was bad last week. This was really, really bad, but I guess because we sort of got caught unawares and you couldn't see the lines on the road. You couldn't see the road. The snow was blowing so hard in places. It was no fun being out on the road. I can understand why Dr. Bill would just park it and walk. If I could have, believe me, I would have. But at any rate, I guess it's more the same for the rest of the week, so yeah, bundle up. Back to the phones. The phone number, of course, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Jim? You there, Jim? No, try again. Okay, well, technical difficulties. All kinds of fun stuff going on here. What do we got? What do we got, Taylor? Oh, I guess we're going to make it up as we go along. You there, Jim? Jim? Is it us? Okay, who's on line one? Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Ah, you're head on. Oh, dear me. Are we going to have phone troubles tonight? Okay. Taylor, if you don't mind, call Intrepid Engineer Randy Kerbway and see if we can get this thing fixed. I apologize for whatever. Well, what? Like it's my fault. I don't know what it is. Listen, this story that's been banging around about lawmakers seek to remove West Virginia hate crime statute. This is a real gagger, isn't it? And of course, who's it coming from? Well, the lead sponsor on it is John Overington, that same creep who wants to institute the death penalty here because enough people aren't dying in West Virginia to suit him. But this particular statute is the hate crimes bill that we have. And the hate crime law enhances punishment for, you know, people who target their victims based on their race, religion, nationality, political affiliation, or their gender, okay? In other words, while they're stomping someone's guts out, they're screaming, "I hate you, you race, religion, nationality, political affiliation, or gender. I hate you, you liberal." And we tack a little bit onto the sentence for that because it makes the crime more than what the crime would have been had that not been there. It makes the crime more noxious. It makes the crime more, hateful? Hateful, yeah, hateful. But John Overington, and John Overington is a, everybody, one, two, three, Republican, of course. He says all crimes should be treated equally rather than looking at the motives behind it. What? I'm guessing Mr. Overington's certainly not a lawyer. Might be a Klansman, not sure. What does that mean? Crimes should be treated equally rather than looking at the motives behind them. isn't it in the very nature of the process that you analyze the motive? Isn't motive, sometimes part of the crime? I think what it boils down to is Mr. Overington's very upset that if any of his Republican backers or constituents decided to stomp the guts out of some black person, that they might get more time in prison for it, for yelling the N-bomb. Disgusting. Truly disgusting. And, of course, give credit where credit's due. He may be out there pushing a tongue-splitting bill, but House Majority Leader Rick Staton does say that it would be an outrage to remove the hate crime statute. This Overington creep, he does absolutely nothing in the House of Delegates. What have we gotten out of him? We've gotten repeal the hate crime law. We've got, we usually get institute right to starve laws. And every year he introduces the please let me kill somebody for, let's kill people for you. You know, the whole death penalty thing. And I truly believe that he wants to be the executioner because I think he gets off on it. A bill description says the measure's intent is that everyone has the right to be free from violence without regard to the motivation behind the violence. Ouch! My head's hurting. But wait a minute. This embarrassing piece of legislation? Or wait, I don't know. Maybe some of you are in the same camp with bloodthirsty Overington. Maybe you think that there shouldn't be any extra punishment for someone who attacks another person because they are black or female or Jewish or Catholic or atheist, or maybe stomps them because they're one of them moose limbs. Maybe you think it's okay to do it for that to be the motive. How can you feel that way? How can you believe that way? That's the worst kind of crime, to attack someone for the for an accident that occurred to them by virtue of their birth. I thought these stinking Republicans were pro-life. Well, white life, absolutely. Absolutely white life. We're very pro-white life, says Delegate Overington. You know, the monkeys can't mention Senator Byrd without calling him Sheets. Ain't we clever? Sheets. Sickos. Why won't they, you know, why won't they pluck the beam from their own eye before they come after the motes in someone else's? Why won't they do something about Grand Kleagel John Overington, who thinks without regard to the motivation behind the violence? Why wouldn't you look to the motive in a crime? Why doesn't motive not matter if it's a hate crime, but we're going to look at the motive in every other crime? I think the rape statute, for instance. Or maybe it's the sexual abuse statute. There's a line in there about for purposes of sexual gratification. That's called a motive. So we're going to look at motive in the case of rape or sexual abuse or pedophilia. But if somebody gets stomped to death for being black or being a Jew, we can't look at that, according to Delegate Overington. Now, I don't know Berkeley County that well. Are there no decent human beings up there that could replace this embarrassment to the legislative process of West Virginia? Oh, stop. What am I talking about? Guess who one of the co-sponsors of this bill is, Sunshine? That's right. That paragon of legislative probity in the House of Delegates, Linda Sumner. Now, somewhere back in some far corner of my brain, I've got it in my head that she's a teacher. Am I right? This woman is or was a teacher, and yet she wants to destroy a law that would stop people from killing, maiming, beating her students for being black, for being the wrong kind of Christian for being Muslim? She wants to eliminate that law? Who put that woman in office? Someone who thinks that way. What an embarrassment to Raleigh County that she would sponsor something like this, co-sponsor it. Now, bear in mind, we can't add protections, because it's been tried in the past, we can't add protections for gay people. It's, hey, right-wingers, you know, even if Delegate Sumner and Delegate Overington don't get this through the House, you can at least take some solace in the fact that it's still not a hate crime in West Virginia to stomp the life out of somebody because they're queer. Or disabled. It's still not a hate crime in West Virginia to stomp the life out of somebody because they're a cripple. Aren't you proud? I tell you what, we need a whole bunch more Linda Sumners and John Overingtons, don't we? Then we could have lots of queer Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Protestant, crippled, gay stomping than we've got right now. And that's what we really need if God's going to like us real good here in West Virginia, right? Is there anybody out there that is proud of having voted for this woman? This woman who co-sponsors a bill that would take away punishment of race hate, gender hate, religion hate. What, do they want it in this state? Are they trying to bring it back? What is her game? And of course, as I mentioned before, she can waste our time, or the legislature's time. She can waste that by proposing that we expand the buffer zone between churches and bars, but she can't be bothered to expand the buffer zone between strip mines and homes. Okay? Now let's see if the phone's working again. Okay, we're going to try this. You there, Michelle? Michelle?
The boy stood on the burning deck, picking his nose like mad. He rolled them up in little balls and threw them at his dad. Is that a good sound check?
Yeah, great. Wonderful sound check.
Is everything working all right?
Up until that point, it was.
Hey, you made me lose my temper the other day, man. I'm sorry I had to hang up on myself.
That's okay.
I was going to have to, like, swear and stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what we've got the magic button for.
Yeah.
But
I hung up on myself.
But thank you for exercising your restraint.
Well, thank you so much. But, you're talking about hate crimes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to, I can't hear you, but I like to check in every now and then. I'd like to know, you know, the, in England, they have, really restrictive gun laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's allowed to have a gun.
Well, that's not entirely true.
All right.
It's handguns, mainly.
The Bobbies don't carry a gun.
No.
All right. Do they have do they have less crime?
Yeah.
They do?
Yes. Yes. Lots less murder.
Lots less murder.
And certainly lots less gun murder.
Hmm. Okay.
I know. Kind of hard to fathom.
Well, no. It's not hard to fathom. I just didn't know if those were the facts.
That is the fact as I have read it. You know, but you know, hey, look, you know, did you see what you mentioned guns? Did you see what the NRA has done?
No.
The NRA has come down on the side of the terrorists.
In what way?
Have you followed it or heard anything about this controversy over the 50 caliber sniper rifle?
No.
Oh, it's a beauty of a gun. Yes,
I know what the 50 cal sniper rifle is.
Yeah, it's got a shell that's about as long as your hand.
Yes.
And it can shoot down an airliner on takeoff.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If it's aimed correctly, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, any gun is only useful if it's aimed correctly, Michelle.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, it can bring down a jetliner.
Yes.
Because and it will penetrate.
And your point is?
It'll penetrate steel armor.
Yes.
The NRA has come out and said, "Well, you know, we believe that Everybody should be able to have one of these, and never mind that terrorists can buy them at gun shows all over America without so much as a background check.
Okay.
We need them.
All right. So here's what I believe, and this goes back to the immigration thing also and the illegal aliens. When, you know, people keep saying that this country was built on aliens. Well, yes, they were built on aliens, but it was built on legal aliens. Not illegal aliens, and it wasn't built on terrorists coming over with false documentation.
No, but you do recognize that during the American Revolution, the English government considered the people that we consider patriots and founding fathers, they were considered to be terrorists.
Well, certainly.
Okay. I mean, we're on the same page there.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but the people who are coming over now to terrorize us...
But no, they're not coming over now, Michelle. They're already here.
Right.
They're already here.
Okay, who have come over, are coming over, whatever, they're coming over illegally.
And they can... No, some of them are legal. I've got the... let's see. You're going to make me find it now. Shame on you.
Yes, I am.
FBI report.
Oh, my God. Not the FBI.
Yes, the Phoebes.
Why don't you go to the Komitet Gosudnar Svetsky Bezopeznosti?
Because, Gesundheit.
The KGB.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, you're going to love this. It took me a minute. I apologize. Terrorist suspects in the United States are buying firearms with the knowledge and approval of the security forces.
What? Wait, back up.
Terrorist suspects in the United States are buying firearms with the knowledge and approval of the security forces, a congressional report revealed yesterday.
All right. Who's writing that?
This is Francis Harris.
Okay. Who's he?
Or she.
Or she.
The journalist.
Okay.
I didn't write it, is
a journalist.
Well, I understand that, but then put your faith in the congressional report, okay? This is a story about a congressional report, Michelle.
Yes. Oh, so I should trust Congress?
Well, according to this congressional report, those acquiring the weaponry include Islamists, radical militia men, and others with ties to groups with a history of using violence to advance their aims. And authorities have approved weapons licenses on at least 47 such occasions in a 9-month period. 11 requests were blocked.
Meaning
the United States government.
The alcohol, the federal firearms.
The background check people.
Okay.
Although background checks are carried out on all firearms purchasers, the only convicted criminals, illegal immigrants, and the mentally ill are prevented by law from owning guns. All 58 purchasers were identified by the FBI as being either known or suspected terrorists, and many are being watched or monitored by the agency.
Okay. Well, then there was a reason. Maybe I'm hypothesizing here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they granted them those licenses to keep an eye on them, to see what they would do in order to nab them.
Not really.
Maybe I watched too much television.
Not really, because as a matter of law, Michelle, federal agents have to, as a matter of law, destroy the records of weapon purchases by the people who buy them within 24 hours.
Right. You haven't heard of CIs?
Of course I've heard of CIs. I've heard of NCIC. But the fact of the matter is, when you buy a gun, the report has to be destroyed within 24 hours.
When you buy a gun, what?
When you buy a gun, the background check information has to be destroyed within 24 hours.
Why?
Because that's the law.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The background.
They didn't let them buy the weapons so they could keep an eye on them because the FBI is the one complaining about this because they can't keep an eye on them.
They followed the letter of the law and they actually destroyed the background checks.
Michelle, let's say you are a terrorist alien, all right, not from another planet, from another country. All you have to do is to walk into a gun show. No background check there. No nothing. Buy the gun, go kill, you know, buy the gun, go shoot down the airliner. That's all there is to it. It's that simple. And we're letting it happen all over the country. The NRA came out and said, fine by us.
Well, what are you saying? Are you saying that I shouldn't be able to go to a gun show and buy a weapon? Because that's what it's going to come down to.
I believe in.
If you're going to restrict
I believe them, in. I believe in the background checks.
Well,
you know
I believe
the record.
In the background check.
Right. No background checks at the gun shows, Michelle. Anybody, legal alien, illegal alien, felon, crazy person, anybody who's not allowed to buy a gun can buy one at a gun show. I have never bought a weapon at a gun show. I've always gone to reputable weapons dealers.
Yeah, I've not bought a weapon at a gun show, but I've been to several.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know that they didn't, well, yeah.
Anybody,
I've been to several flea markets. I bought,
the FBI
I bought weapons at flea markets.
The FBI has a terrorism watch list, Michelle. They have this list. It's got thousands of people on it. And every one of those human beings is completely able to walk into any gun show in America and buy him a gun.
All right, well, then what is your suggestion?
Eliminate.
You know, I mean, should we...
background
limit?
Checks? Background
no,
checks?
No, wait. Should we limit these guys selling weapons at flea markets and gun shows? Because they're not able to do the background checks?
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. You know, you're mad at your neighbor. There's a gun show going on. Well, you'd have to go through a 24-hour waiting period to buy a pistol.
Oh, stop it. I'm mad at my neighbors all the time. I'm not going to go shoot them.
You're not.
No, I'm not.
How about the guy at Luby's in Texas a few years back? He didn't even know those people and shot him.
Well,
okay? We got problems.
No.
And this
that man had an axe.
And this 50...
Or a knife.
He wouldn't have killed 20 or 30 people, all right? You can't do it. You know, there's some real hard work involved in axe murdering.
Yes, there is.
Not nearly as difficult as squeezing a not nearly as easy as squeezing
That's
a trigger.
True.
And I'm sorry. I've seen what this 50 caliber rifle can do. I personally would like to have one, just because I think it's cool, but I don't need one.
Okay, so what's your suggestion that we do?
We need to restrict those rifles. If you can bring down a jetliner with one.
No way.
Yeah, one shot into the fuel
tank.
No,
boom, I mean, gone. No way. Do I think that you should restrict the American people? The American people from defending themselves with whatever weaponry they believe that they will need for these terrorists who are coming over. What, is this the only country they can get these weapons at?
That means I can have a tank? You want me to have any weapon
care.
I feel like I can... Cool. Okay.
I don't care if you have a tank.
Okay, maybe I'm on your side then. If I can have a tank and, two or three fighter jets, couple of Black Hawk helicopters
fully
loaded.
You know what, if you can afford it and can man it and have the... You know what? I'm going to come and ask you for a job.
Well, you know what? I got news for you. You're not allowed to own those things.
You can't own a tank?
Nope.
Please.
If you can afford
it. Are you certain about this?
Even if you can afford it, you cannot have
one. Are you certain?
I'm certain.
I would check that.
Well, that's fine, but no, you can't. These crazy people that are actually rich, you think they wouldn't have one if they could? Come on. Oh, my God, we're out of time. See you, Michelle.
Thank you.
This is WWNR AM 620, Beckley, West Virginia. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
The second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back, 5.5 minutes after 8 o'clock. So I don't have an answer for you. I don't know why it is that the NRA is in favor of giving terrorists weapons to attack us with. Frank Lautenberg says that individuals on the FBI's terrorism watch list should be prevented from owning firearms. You know, people from like out of the U.S. Now, haven't we been arguing that people detained on foreign soil by U.S. forces don't have constitutional rights? I know I've heard that argument. I've heard lots of wing nuts make it. I've heard the White House make it. So if the Constitution doesn't apply to the people that we're sending to the to George Bush's rape rooms at Abu Ghraib and that sort of thing, if the Constitution doesn't apply to them, then why do these why do we let the terrorists have Second Amendment rights to own any old firearm they want in the United States and not even keep track of them? I don't get it. Much better, much better. Sorry about that. Things are just coming apart all over the place tonight. Seriously, I fail to understand the reasoning of the National Rifle Association, except for the fact that it's probably more concerned with helping its major donors at Smith & Wesson, Colt, and Browning, whatever, sell guns than they are with American safety, security, national security. Just not that concerned. I mean, imagine it. Anybody can walk into a gun show, no background check. You know, maybe you plan on shooting down a plane tomorrow. No background check, march right in, buy your 50 caliber sniper rifle, and shoot it down. You know, one bullet right into the fuel tank. Boom. That should give you some pause. That should give you a lot of pause. But, you know, maybe not. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, let's try again. Sorry about that last time.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Yes, indeed.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Phone's working again.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, that's me. I'm flying off into the Marinosphere.
Up there with
you. I tell you, man, for the news you'd be giving out tonight, you should preface your program by saying this. Or getting the movie Fright Night with Chris Sarandon.
Mm-hmm.
And simply say, welcome to Fright Night for real.
Yeah. Spooky.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you remember Count Floyd from from SCTV? Scary stuff. Yeah, this is scary stuff.
Yeah, but listen, Sarandon, he is a real classy vampire.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He really is, and does it very well. Look, you know, I don't know what to say about what's happened in the past couple of days, what stuff you've been talking about. Other than the fact that, you know, I just hope from Canada I can keep good control of my dental floss rack.
The Mission Impossible mask has been pulled off the Republican Party with the bankruptcy bill. We do see them for who they are now, don't we?
Well, this is just a government of the monopolist, by the monopolist, and for the monopolist.
And
basically. It's basically what it was before the progressive era, Bob.
Yeah, now a chorus of America, America, Uber alles.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'll say this. They may have their brief gaudy hour, but as John Dryden once said, sometimes victors are themselves by their own victories undone.
Well, there's that possibility. They could go too far. And even in today's, maybe it was yesterday's Washington Post, an article about Senate Republicans being really, really nervous about Georgia's little budget that he's sending to them. That it gives away too much to the rich at a time that they can't justify it anymore.
Well, hey, I mean, this is what Marie Antoinette's necklace, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind being Madame Lafarge.
Not at this point.
Not a bit. By the way, the book we talked about, it's very interesting.
Chatter,
right.
Yeah.
And basically, and I'll just excerpt a sentence or two for your information, if you don't mind, please, sir.
Go right ahead.
It says, disembodied snippets of information get snatched from the ether, perhaps out of context and are misinterpreted by an analyst who then secretly transmits them around the world. And guess where they store all this stuff? The NSA's got a bottomless computer storage system that can store 5 trillion pages of text. And that's a stack of paper 150 miles high.
Wow.
And, you know, basically the book is about signals intelligence.
Right.
And, you know, it's a well-written book, and this young man has done a good job. And he basically details the point of, you know, where does security end and your liberties begin? But what they can do, what they can record, and how they can eavesdrop and pick up just about anything they want to, It's just, it's kind of, well, it's no surprise to me.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, you know, we're living in a science fiction novel, Jim.
Well, fiction, in fact, has become nonfiction. You know, Bob, I've seen this done. I could not even know you, and I could be living in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And by hacking into the right systems or by going into them legally, depending on who I work for, I could write your entire biography and not even know you. I could tell every grade you'd ever made, basically every place you'd ever lived and how you lived there, how you got there, who financed your house. I could tell you all about, you know, your wife and your children.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you about your income. I could tell you every day what you do with your checking account. I could go into your medical history.
Yeah, there's a reason that I do everything in my power to stay out of databases.
Well, you really can't.
No, you can't. You
can't
try
without being in one. You really cannot. And, you know, it's just incredible how, and, you know, when I used to do research and stuff like that, the first thing I always went to was the financial history of anybody, okay?
Because mm-hmm.
people will lie to diaries, but they don't lie to their checkbooks. And if they do, they're a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the skeleton about which you can build anything about anybody.
Wow.
Just follow the money.
Wow, that's
and
true.
Just follow the check transactions, credit card transactions. I mean, you know, every time you write a check, that thing is electronically recorded. It goes somewhere, and they know what's going on. You get a deposit in your banking account for an exceeding amount of money, you know who gets notified.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's just welcome to the world of Big Brother.
Well, and, you know, some of this, I guess, is the price that we pay for living in the so-called modern age.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a blade that cuts two ways. It is.
But, you know, at what point in time did we, you know, Choice Point, you know, they're back in the news. And another company's been hacked.
Well, I mean, hackers basically are people who have no countries, they have no allegiances except to themselves. They basically have only temporary friends or allies.
Well,
and they're a unique breed of people. They really are.
Well, the Choice Point hackers are said to have been organized crime.
Oh, I'm certain they've used it to their advantage. Sure.
Right.
I mean, they hire these people out the way, you know.
At what point did the American people consent to have this kind of data compiled on them?
They don't. They don't have to.
Yeah, it's not ours, I guess.
It's in the public domain. I mean, anytime you open up a bank account, anytime you have a credit card, anytime you make any kind of transaction, whatever it is, you know, I could go down to the courthouse and find out how much you pay for your house, because all that's a matter of public record.
Sure it is.
Your will, I could find out who you left your, you know, who your beneficiaries are and to whom you made bequests. That's all in this a matter of public record. We live in a very public society.
Well, I don't mind the public aspect of it. But when you take these data mining companies like Choice Point, Jim,
mm-hmm.
they're not using it for the public good.
No, they're not.
Because you realize that, and I talked about this, the government has done an end run on the Privacy Act of 1974.
Listen, FOIA, for all practical intents and purposes, is Mort's name. It's dead hand. It's
no,
dead.
No, I'm not talking about FOIA. I'm talking about the Privacy Act of 1974.
That's what I'm talking about.
That the government cannot keep records on dossiers on private citizens without a damn good reason.
Yes, they can.
And
they can keep it for 1 year.
That's, you know, but that's dead now, too, because they went around it, Jim, and hired Choice Point on the theory that, well, the law says the government can't, but doesn't say private business can't. So the private sector has collected the information and sold it to the government.
They don't even have to do that, Bob.
But that's what they did.
I don't know. I don't know why they did that, unless they wanted to give somebody a contract. But, I mean, they can keep records on anybody.
Absolutely.
In this country for a year, and then if there's extenuating circumstances in their particular assessment, they can keep it there as long as India Inc. will stay dry or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, stay legible. Sure.
Stay legible, right.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I think it's a book worthy of reading. And
I hope to get my hands on it.
By the way, I did see a biography of Hunter Stockton Thompson on the Biography Channel night before last.
Really?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. What was this language that he wrote in? What is it called?
Gonzo.
Gonzo, exactly. But the boy was born in Louisville, Kentucky, of all places.
Yes, indeed.
And it was extremely well thought up and, you know, well written. And a lot of his contemporaries were made commentaries about his life and his work. And, you know, the guy was just kind of crazy, but he was just really kind of wonderfully crazy.
It was
described his experiences with the Hell's Angels, and they had the head of Hell's Angels talk about the year that he stayed with them. It was really interesting.
Well, you know, he didn't treat it like dress rehearsal. He realized it was, you know, opening night all the way through. And it was a life well spent, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. And his ex-wife was on there, and his son, and he has a grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a, I didn't realize this, but he was an extremely charismatic type of person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And certainly contributed a great deal to the American mainstream of literature, and, you know, like many prophets, was not honored in his own time.
You can go back and read Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail from 1972, and it reads like 2004, Jim.
Basically, you're right. They pointed that out in this thing. I'll tell you, the Biography Channel, it's 306 from Charter, and it's well worth it, I'll tell you.
Absolutely. Got to roll, Jim. Got to hit the break.
Well, listen, one more thing.
Yeah.
If you ever want to give yourself a hickey, I know how. One of those Hoover shot backs.
Yeah.
And if you get that thing and let it slip out of your hand, because I can guarantee you it'll pull you in there and let it get on part of your neck, it will look like you've been hooked up to an octopus. And that happened to me a few minutes ago.
Oh, that just can't be good.
And also, one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using it, and this is for people who like to house clean in the all together, please be careful.
A word to the wise is sufficient, Jim. Thanks.
I just tried to help my fellow man, Bob.
I understand. You're a caring human being.
Well, don't you think so?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Love you.
All right. Later. All right. Break time. I got to recover from that. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There are three things you get at L&S Toyota. Great prices, big selection, no hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. L&S Toyota has brand new 2005 Corollas, over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 factory rebate. Buy a brand new 2005 Camry, over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 factory rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax, tag, and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Example, 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing with zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05.
You've heard it all before. Lose weight while you sleep. Erase your debts instantly, or make a fortune in your spare time. How about this one? Slash construction wages and 4 schools can be built for the price of 3. Ridiculous? Of course. Study after study proves that wage cuts won't reduce school construction costs. In fact, wage cuts hurt local companies and damage our communities. So don't believe everything you hear until you've heard the fact. A message from the ACT Foundation.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Okay, I think I've recovered now. Oh, mercy. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Stay away from the shop vacs, all of you. Let's go back to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're Head On.
Well, Bob, I hope you haven't recovered too much. Because I got one for you tonight.
Oh, brother.
These are new departments of the government.
Yeah?
And I have a top 10.
Okay.
Department of Preventive Bankruptcy. Office of Under-the-Table Secretary for Domestic Fraud. National Institute for the Study of Conservative Investments, Bureau of Methamphetamine Discovery and Retrieval, Department of Prisons, and the Insinuation to the Non-Reform Act of 2005, Department of Usury and Taxation.
Yeah, that'll be a big one.
Yeah, Department of Invasion Forces. Oh, so hangs up there all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Division of Child Labor and Bureau of Exploitation. Office of Initial Riot and Reform. They work a lot overseas.
Yes.
And Special Office of Torture and Multi-Representational Cruelty.
That's a beauty right there.
You what now?
That's a beauty right there.
Yeah. Okay, now I got something that's going to make your day, week, month, and year.
Okay.
All righty. This is from United Press International.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-Marine says public version of Saddam capture fiction.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Let me read it to you.
Yeah, please.
A former U.S. Marine who participated in capturing ousted Iraqi President Saddam Hussein said the public version of his capture was fabricated.
Well, why am I not surprised?
Yeah. Ex-Sergeant, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce this guy's name, he's of Lebanese descent,
mm-hmm.
was quoted in the Saudi daily Al Medina Wednesday as saying Saddam was actually captured Friday, December 12, 2003, not the day after it was announced by the U.S. Army.
But this guy was a member of the United States military, right?
Yeah. I was among the 20-man unit, including 8 of Arab descent, who searched for Saddam for 3 days in the Arab door near Tikrit. We found him in a modest home in a small village, and not in a hole, as announced. We captured him after fierce resistance, during which a Marine of Sudanese origin was killed. He said Saddam himself fired at them with a gun from the window of a room on the second floor. And they shouted at him in Arabic, "You have to surrender. There is no point in resisting." Later on, a military production team fabricated the film of Saddam's capture in a hole, which was, in fact, a deserted well.
Oh, for God's sakes.
They interviewed him in Lebanon. This is from Sun Yong Moon's United Press International, so it's got to be true, right?
Yeah, sure. Probably ran it in the Washington Times.
Well, I found it on a website of, I can't remember, a television station in New York had it on their website.
Okay.
And it's on the front page of Georgia Board right now.
So they've made up Okay, we got. Oh, stop it! We got fake. A fake White House press corps staffed by a manho.
Yeah.
We've got fake news delivered by fake reporters. We've got fake opinion delivered by Armstrong Williams for $240,000. We got Maggie Gallagher. Out there pimping George's marriage proposal for $20,000.
Well, you remember the...
I'm losing my mind here, Chris. Is there any is there any reality left?
You said you were going to recover, and I just put you under. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, oh, damn it. Yeah.
You remember the William Burroughs routine where he was sent to a place to learn how to write the news, as it create the news?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. That's kind of what's going on here.
I mean, after a while, it makes you question. Well, maybe it's a good thing. It makes you question everything.
Everything, yeah. Why not?
You know, because at the time it was going down, I was you know, do you remember what was released at the time Saddam was captured?
What's that?
The Kurds had captured him a couple of weeks before and just held him until it was politically expedient to announce it.
Hmm. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, the Kurdish news agency said, "Oh yeah, we just caught him and sort of kept him doped up and quiet until it was time to pick him up."
Hmm. Another one wouldn't surprise me.
No, but you know, doggone it.
Well, maybe the Kurds were holding him in that house, and the U.S. forces rushed in and took him from the Kurds.
Yeah, could be. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
There is no, and you know, what does this say about the assassination attempt against? Juliana Skrina.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting that 400 bullets went through the car. The only person injured was her bodyguard, who got a bullet through the head.
There was a actually watched a little bit of television news today. I flipped by, and there was one of our gray-headed officers talking. And he was saying that when a vehicle comes towards a roadblock, they try to determine, the soldiers on the spot try to determine whether or not it would have a bomb in it. I don't know how in the world to do that. And when they try to fire a warning shot, and they have to fire at the car. They try to fire at the engine block.
Right, hopefully.
And hopefully somebody doesn't get hurt. From, let's say, a couple hundred yards away, how do you fire into an engine block and not hurt anybody?
Well, beyond that, there wasn't a checkpoint. Yep. They had cleared the last checkpoint. There seems to be no controversy on that.
I know. There wasn't, and you can't say there was. But I have no doubt in my mind that's what that was. We talked about that. What was it last night?
Yeah.
That it was probably meant to happen.
Oh.
They paid that ransom. That means they're giving money to them to buy more weapons, of mass destruction. We better shoot her.
Well, after all, she's a commie.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
I can just see the situation, Ram, just lighten up, boy.
Oh, I did. During the break, I got to go and get this story about the ex-Marine.
I sent you a link.
Okay.
Yeah, we coined this thing boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in the Situation Room we've got shell casings on the ground.
Yeah, 400 at a time, and yet the only thing that hurts somebody is the bullet through the head.
Yeah, we had one soldier wounded from one of these bullet casings, actually hit his arm and skinned him up a little bit. But he wasn't the shooter, so. Yeah, I'll tell you, it stinks. Something terrible.
Unto the nostrils of the Almighty. Chris, we got to take our break. Thanks so much, man.
Take care, Bob.
Later. Okay. We do. We got to take our break. How about that? Turns out the capture of Saddam was a moving picture show. It's just a movie. He wasn't down a spider hole. It was just in somebody's house. I think it's a show. I was going to say, what all is a lie? But it's a shorter list to just say, what's the truth? What's the truth? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Governor Manchin's Highway Safety Director says he is against any change to West Virginia's mandatory helmet law. Bob Tipton told the Senate Transportation Committee yesterday that anyone involved in highway safety would be opposed to relaxing that law. Governor Manchin has lent his support to attempts to ease the law that would allow motorcyclists to ride without helmets in certain situations, such as parades. Manchin says he'd be willing to look at such a change as a way to enhance economic development, since some out-of-state bikers are reluctant to spend time and money in West Virginia if they're forced to wear helmets all the time. Some lawmakers are sponsoring a bill that would remove West Virginia's hate crime statute. Republican Delegate John Overington of Berkeley County is the bill's lead sponsor. He says crimes should be treated equally rather than looking at the motives behind them. West Virginia's hate crime law adds punishment for criminals who target victims for race, religion, nationality, political affiliation, or gender. A Rodell police officer faces dismissal after being arrested for domestic battery and brandishing a weapon. Daniel Ray Price of Beckley turned himself in to Beckley police yesterday after he learned an arrest warrant had been issued. The charges arise from domestic violence complaints made against Price last month, including an incident where he allegedly brandished a handgun during an argument in the emergency room at Raleigh General. The city of Beckley is taking steps to gain control of the Raleigh County Armory. Last night, a Raleigh County Commission attorney, Carl Roop, spoke before Beckley Common Council and sought their approval and on an intergovernmental agreement to form a new corporation that would take over day-to-day operation at the Armory. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening. Tonight, partly cloudy, low near 17, but a chance of snow showers again tonight after midnight. And then for Thursday, partly sunny, continued cold, though, with tomorrow's high again, mid to upper 30s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
There are three things you get at L&S Toyota. Great prices, big selection, no hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. L&S Toyota has brand new 2005 Corollas, over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 factory rebate. Buy a brand new 2005 Camry, over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 factory rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax, tag, and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Example, 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing with zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05.
There's a right way and a wrong way to bring jobs to West Virginia. There's a high road and a low road. The low road leads to reduced wages and benefits for West Virginia workers. It's a road marked by giveaways and sweetheart deals for those in the fast lane, but it's a dead end for the rest of us. The road less traveled is the high road. It leads to good jobs, fair wages, and responsible development. It's a little harder to navigate, but it's well worth the trip. A message from the ACT Foundation.
WWNR Beckley.
A U.S. senator campaigning for re-election visited a nursing home where he approached an old fellow who was watching TV. The senator asked, "Do you know who I am?" The old man replied, "No, but if you go to the front desk, they'll tell you." Luckily for us, if we forget who we are, we can go to Choice Point, Inc., for they know all about all of us. This outfit is an aggregator of personal information on just about everyone. Its computers hold 19 billion bits of sensitive info on nearly every American, including our Social Security numbers, credit and medical histories, car registrations, job applications, military records, lawsuits, and police files. Choice Point is in the business of selling our private information for a profit. To whom does it sell? Banks, marketers, government agencies, your boss, and practically anyone willing to pay this data broker's fee, including, it turns out, criminals. In February, it was reported that a ring of thieves had been allowed to open accounts with Choice Point and extract volumes of personal data on up to 500,000 Americans. This data can be used for identity theft, allowing thieves to drain the bank accounts and credit card accounts of their victims. Few of us are aware that these corporate data peddlers have amassed so many details of our lives, much less that they operate with almost no oversight, no requirements for security and privacy protection. Indeed, Choice Point knew of the data theft last October, but did not inform the victims or law officials. Only California requires that the companies report such thefts, and even there, Choice Point didn't begin notifying potential victims until February, and the notification was by mail. A spokesman says the letter should arrive, quote, within a few weeks. This is Jim Hightower saying, weeks? To help reel in these careless privacy hucksters, call the Electronic Privacy Information Center, 202-483-1140.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 9 o'clock. I got the link. I went there. 13WHAM.com. 13 numbers. Use the numbers. 13WHAM.com. From the United Press International, just like Chris said, ex-Marine says public version of Saddam capture fiction. Again, where is the... Is there no... These Republicans are the ones that revere the Ten Commandments again. Remember? Talked a little bit last night about honor thy father and thy mother until they make you go bankrupt, and then not so much from the Republicans. Talked about it again this evening. Going to talk about it now. Thou shalt not lie. Well, that's what one of the versions says. And no reverence for the truth. No reverence for facts. No reverence for reality. A U.S. Marine who was in on the thing says it was staged. The capture of Saddam was staged. They went back and did the hidey hole thing with him later. Next question, did they do it with the real Saddam or with one of the body doubles? Do they have the real Saddam? You see, that's the problem with telling a lie. When you get busted on it, it throws everything else into question. Sergeant Nadim Abu Rabe, a member of the United States Marines. Yes, white people, it's possible to be in the Marines and have a name like Nadim Abu Rabe. He was kind of handy because he spoke Arabic. We don't have so many Arabic language specialists in the military before because we dumped a bunch of them for being queer. Remember that? Yep, the Bush administration did that. We won't need any Arab language specialists over there. You go to war with the Arab language specialists that you have, not the ones that you want. No, wrong, because the ones you have, you get rid of. So, yeah, there was a 20-man unit. There were eight of them of Arabic descent, including Sergeant Rabe. And they captured Saddam in a little house. The spider hole was a deserted well. It was all blue smoke and mirrors. It was all fake. Can these people tell the truth? My answer? No. How many times are the truth not in them? George, what color is the sky? Pink! Purple! Green! And then by the time he finally gets around to blue, you don't believe that either. There's a literary reference. It's called the memory hole. I witnessed it myself yesterday, my lovely wife and I, watching TV. You're aware that President Clinton and Pappy Bush had a little tsunami press conference in what's called the Roosevelt Room at the White House yesterday. Did you see any of that? Well, I did. And my lovely wife did. We were sitting there together. And a question was put to them. And they were, you know, Pappy and President Clinton were fielding all manner of inquiry. And the question was put out there by some intrepid White House reporter. Who knows? Maybe it was Jeff Ganniguk's cousin or something. Asked, can I ask, since you spent so much time in your presidencies working on the Middle East, these are big days, obviously, throughout that region. What's your reaction to what's happening in the Middle East? What do you think is going on there? That's the question. I heard it with my own ears. Saw it with my own eyes. And then Pappy Bush gives this blah, 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 yada, yada, Hosni Mubarak, and the president intends to stay fully involved, blah, 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 lie, lie, lie. And then President Clinton steps up. And he says, I would agree with that. I think that the Iraqi elections went better than anyone could have imagined, And now I have said I don't think we ought to try to pressure the president to give a timetable for withdrawal of American forces. We've got to try to make this work. We all know that we have to go sometime, that we don't want to occupy the country, but they still need us to help train security forces. There's still a violent environment there. And the friends in this brave new world are still vulnerable, as we saw just yesterday. And my lovely wife and I heard that those three words, brave new world. Pink little ears perked up. I looked at her. She looked at me. I said, did he just say brave new world? And she said, he just said brave new world. And we both looked back at the television. And, of course, if you've read it, you understand that Aldous Huxley created a shocking and terrifying, it's not science fiction, it was prophecy for what would happen to this country. And he was English. He was talking about the Western world, but it looks a lot like America. Brave new world. That's where people walk around drugged and made all happy and calm and everything with Soma, where babies are bioengineered in test tubes by corporations, where people are genetically engineered for particular tasks and segregated into caste systems. That brave new world. That brave new world that looks, like I said, so much like Bushmerica with three Ks. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and it was just... And then the light went on for both of us, and we realized, ha, 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 Bill Clinton still got it. Cool as a cucumber. Just rat-slapped George Bush by referring to this brave new world. Brave new world. And it was kind of funny. So then I went off to whitehouse.gov, and I looked up the transcript of the press conference. And I copied and pasted it into WordPerfect to make sure that I hadn't screwed up, and I searched for Brave New World. It's gone. Just gone. You want to know what it says now? There's still a violent, this is the quote from President Clinton, there's still a violent environment there, and the friends of the new order are still vulnerable. Brave New World gets turned into friends of the new order. You cannot convince me, and I think you would be a fool to try, that there is some similarity between friends of the new order and Brave New World. And that it's just a transcription error. That little dig at President Bong Hit has been eliminated from reality. What did they say in the interview? What did they call my kind? Reality-based people? What did they say about themselves? We create our own history. We create our own reality. And they destroy realities, too. How about that? And our friends in this brave new world becomes friends of the new order. Friends of the new order? Sounds like some sort of hybrid skinhead Quakers. It doesn't even make sense. You and what you think is reality are both clearly being manipulated. Up is down, down is up, right is left is right, day is night, black is white. Nothing is as it seems. If you get a chance, sit down and toddle through Brave New World if you haven't in a while. Read about Soma and see if it doesn't sound like Prozac and Effexor and Paxil and all the happy pills from the Republican donors. The pharmaceutical companies. Create babies in a lab? We can do that now. They're called test tube babies. Not quite to the genetic engineering yet. Not quite. What do you think about that? Does that bother you? Do you like it when your government, you remember, you're the sovereign, when your government completely changes quotes and changes meanings? Brave New World becomes friends of the new order. Does it bother? Do you find any irony in those pictures of Matthew Hale, the guy whose organization is suspected of killing Judge Lefkoe's husband and aged mother in Chicago last week? Do you find any irony that their flag of that so-called church is a big red flag with a circle and inside it a W with a crown on it? I saw it and it gave me the cold chills. It still does. Is it bothersome to you? Well, and it happens if you watch WhiteHouse.gov at all, they also cover up when George Bush says things like, man and fish can live together in peace. They retranscribe it some way that almost tries to make some sort of sense. But this wasn't Bush's words. These were Bill Clinton's words that they monkeyed with. And the friends of the New Order. He did not say friends of the New Order, Bill Clinton didn't. He said, this brave new world. And just for the record, Aldous Huxley didn't come up with that all by himself. The line itself comes from Shakespeare's The Tempest, wherein Miranda says, oh, what a brave new world that has such people in it. So maybe Bill just did it off the cuff. Maybe there was no intentional dig. But somebody was afraid that there was an intentional dig because they changed Brave New World to Friends of the New Order. Where is there any reality at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Is there anything that is not subject to being twisted and lied about? This is your government lying to you and you willfully taking the lie. It's amazing to me. Go read it. Don't take my word for it. Go see where it says Friends of the New Order. And then, when you've done that, try to search for the video. I've spent the better part of the day trying to find it. Maybe it's just because I'm not so good at it. I watched it on CNN. See if you can find the video of Bill Clinton saying, this brave new world. And if it is not as I have suggested, if it's not deliberate, then ask what I think will be a fairly tough question. Why did they do it? Why is it necessary to change Brave New World to Friends of the New Order? I've told you why I think it was done. You tell me why it was done. Because, I'm just, all liberal and, crazy. And, what national security policy does it serve to change Bill Clinton from saying Brave New World to Friends of the New Order? What does that serve? How does it make us safer? What purpose is there in it except to try to save George Bush some level of embarrassment? The embarrassment of people who know lines from Shakespeare and titles to Aldous Huxley books? I looked at all the sites I usually pay attention to. I couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't even find that anybody noticed it. Why should that be surprising, though? I was the only one who bothered to call and find out that the BTK killer was a registered Republican. What does this mean? What does it mean when they change words and change the meaning of words? Go read Brave New World. Go read 1984. You're living it. Now, you're too busy trying to keep your head above water financially, but you're living it, and you don't even know it half the time. Let's go to the phones. Jack is with us. Hey, Jack, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just... enjoy your people calling in, and I enjoy you. And I hats off to you, man. I wished I had everything you got in your mind, but I haven't got that. But, it seemed like to me they want to excuse Bin Laden. Now, I asked you where he's living one time. You probably said in the Bush basement.
Yeah.
I believe that. I'm sorry to say that, but I, honest to gosh, these boys over are fighting like they're fighting, and here Ben Lattin sound like to me they want to excuse him now.
Oh yeah. Well, how long was it between mentions of Ben Lattin by Bush? You know, he finally mentioned him again last week for the first time in literally years.
Yeah, well, it seems like to me when you got an army looking at somebody, that shouldn't be so difficult. And then, unless it's rubbing off in another thing, but I respect your program, and I enjoy your callers. And I'm going to tell you, where's America going? You know, Bob, I'm getting older. I like to ride a bike and keep exercising.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm getting to where now in America I'm afraid to even do that.
This is getting to be a scary place, Jack.
Well, Bob, I don't like to carry a gun. I don't never want a gun on me, but I'm afraid if I ever did and somebody shoot me, they'd say I had a gun. I'm just like that. I want to apologize to you because I wish I had more sense as
no, quit
as
it.
I
no,
grew
no,
up
no.
on things pretty well.
No, Jack, you do fine. Cars. You do just fine, Jack, and it's always a pleasure to hear from you. And don't sell yourself short.
Well, only place I sell myself short is I'm American. And when I hear about people like Ben Lattin don't have no people in this country, that's getting pretty big. That's getting pretty big.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got plenty of people here. You know, the fact that, you know, we went through the elections, Jack, and it was, oh, look, George Bush has kept us safer because we haven't been attacked. The only reason we haven't been attacked is because they have chosen not to attack us. They're getting all kinds of mileage out of the last one that they never even dreamed they'd get.
Yes, sir. And, you know, Bob, I enjoy voting every year. However I vote, I vote. And
yeah, it's your business,
it's just,
you know?
I want to be American and vote for people I think I can trust. But I'm thinking about the government. They somebody in there is brainwashing somebody. And, sir, I thank you for taking my call, and I'll hang up.
That's okay. Thanks, Jack.
Thank
You're right.
You.
Yeah, he's right. Somebody in there is brainwashing somebody. The somebody getting the brainwashing is us. When you can't even trust your own eyes and ears anymore, you're being manipulated. You're absolutely being manipulated. When Republican talking points show up on the evening news as so-called legitimate journalism, you're being manipulated. It happens every day, day in and day out. And do you even know it? Do you even listen for it? Do you pay attention? You know, George Bush talks about the filter. There's a filter, all right. There's a Republican right-wing filter, and it is installed on every news outlet. Because, you see, these news anchors and these reporters and these talking heads are a lot more concerned with whether or not they're going to get invited to the next cocktail party than with whether or not they report facts. And they will not report facts if those facts are uncomfortable. Where were the reporters during the staging of this Saddam capture? Where were they? Well, they weren't there for the capture. They were there for the spider hole event. And they didn't even have the native curiosity to wonder if it was real, to wonder if it was the real Saddam. You know, it's ridiculous. And we fall for it. We're the suckers. We're the chumps. I keep talking about the three rules of W.C. Fields. Never give a sucker an even break. You can't cheat an honest man, and don't smarten up a chump. And right now we have a government that lives and breathes Rule 3. Never smarten up a chump. And never give a sucker an even break. When was the last time the middle class got an even break from George Bush and the people who manipulated him? We're not going to get an even break out of the bankruptcy bill. There's no doubt about that. And people will suffer. And so once again, we say to the people who voted for George Bush, thanks, guys. We didn't really need it. But thanks. We've got to take a break. It's time for the top of the hour news from ABC. And when we come back, more of your calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Welcome to Headcare with Dr. Kelly. You're on caller.
Hi, I'm having problems. People don't find attractive.
And how do you know?
Because they gag when they see me.
Sounds like we're having a self-image problem, yes?
Well, I'm round, red. Say, I'm a polyp.
Aren't you being a little hard on yourself, polyp?
Maybe. But there is one more thing.
What's that?
If I'm around long enough, I give you cancer. Hello?
Well, that's interesting. Can we go to the next caller, please, right now?
Let me talk. I grow on you.
When a colon polyp shows up, get rid of it right away, because colon polyps can lead directly to colon cancer. Get the polyp early and stop colon cancer before it even starts.
Hi, it's me again. Hello?
And that's both for men and women. So just get a test from your doctor.
Hello? I think I got cut off, so to speak. Hello?
Colon cancer. Get the test, get the polyp, get the cure. For more information, call 1-800-ACS-2345 or visit cancer.org. A public service message brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the Ad Council, and this station.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock at Head On. 54 minutes and change left in tonight's program, the prayer meeting edition, Wednesday night. And a special welcome, by the way, to all the new folks who have been heading to the message boards at headonradio.com. The debate is getting fierce, and that's what free speech is about, isn't it? So thanks for coming in and playing. It certainly makes it more fun to have more people around. Let's go to the phones. We got a first time caller, Daniel. Hey, Daniel, you're Head On.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
The main thing I'm coming here to talk about is you've probably heard me talk about earlier. This stuff that goes on in school, educational stuff.
Right.
As you probably know, me and a few of my friends, Bill Lewis and Gavin Warren and a bunch of other people, have started the YDA, the Young Democrats of America, at Independence High School.
Good man.
We're getting this, but we're getting a lot of opposition.
Really?
Yeah. I don't understand it, because these right wing conservatives, say they're doing the right thing, and they started a Young Republicans of America.
Following in your footsteps,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
But one of them distinctly said that they're doing it just to make us angry, or as his words, just to piss us off. And I don't, I think it's bad how a lot of conservatives, they force feed you their propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what it is.
Exactly, and there's this one instance of, I was in fourth block one day. And a certain history teacher, I'm not going to mention any names.
Okay, that's probably a good policy.
we was talking about the prisoners in Guantanamo Bay. And he said this, he's a very avid Republican, lets people know about it. He said, the thing we should do with the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, we should kill them all, we should just mow them down.
What?
Yeah.
No. Back up, Daniel. No, stop. I'm having reality problems tonight. This was a teacher?
This is a teacher.
And this teacher said this in class?
Said this in class.
That we should mow down all the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay?
The exact words out of his mouth.
Wow, what a sicko.
Exactly. How someone could have that much disregard for human life, it astonishes me.
Well, you're a young man, Daniel. Don't get too astonished too quick. You'll get worn out, because the depths to which these right-wing fanatic murderous killer Republicans will sink, you'll wind up in perpetual amazement. You really will. There's no floor to the evil that they're willing to talk or perpetrate.
This is a
high school teacher
advocating
the murder of uncharged, untried, unconvicted individuals who are being held in an unconstitutional fashion in Cuba. This guy's advocating their murder, and we're allowing him to teach our kids?
Apparently.
I mean, you heard this said. I want to get this straight, Daniel.
Yeah, I heard this said.
Okay, from his mouth to your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And a few others. I'm not the only one.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So something else that astonished me was, I mean, he has said such biased remarks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's what the legal issues are with it, if it's legal or illegal to. I'm guessing it, you know, it wouldn't be illegal to, you know, let people know that what you are, but it's illegal, I would say, to teach direct propaganda.
Kind of.
Well, because one of the things he said, this absolutely astonishes me.
Well, let me ask you real quick. Are you allowed to disagree with this guy?
We're allowed to disagree, but, I mean, where most people in that class are so uneducated, he'll tell them something and they'll accept it as fact.
Oh.
One thing that absolutely blew my mind,
mm-hmm.
he was talking about JFK.
Right.
And once again, there's people that heard this. He said the best thing that ever happened to JFK was he got shot.
Ah! No. This guy, you're pulling my leg.
I'm not pulling your leg. At 100% of truth to this, it will say it.
During a class at Independence High School. During a class.
Mm-hmm.
You heard this said.
I heard this said.
Now, I know, you know, I mean, you're a young man, Daniel.
Uh-huh.
And you're testing the waters and you're trying to be more independent and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, and we kind of hate to run and talk to mommy and daddy sometimes. It's not so common. Did you tell your parents what you're being forced to listen to in school?
I've told my parents and I've told everybody I can come into contact with. That is absolutely unconstitutional. I mean, you can't teach something like that in a government institution.
Teaching murder?
Yeah, how is that even legal?
Let's back off from the legal thing for a minute, Daniel. How does that contribute to your growth as a human being?
Exactly.
Is this something you're going to need to get? I mean, is this on the test?
Yeah, I know. I don't understand it.
Oh, my God.
There's so much. So much crap taught in the education nowadays. Education is ran by a bunch of right-wing radical liberals, or not liberals, but conservatives. And
yeah.
Us liberals are the only ones standing in the way of complete domination. I mean, how can a, you know, whenever, and like I say, teachers are in a place of authority. And something that absolutely astonished me was that this same teacher, a kid actually asked what the ACLU was. You know,
American Civil Liberties Union, sure.
Yeah. And he said it's the cause of every deviant and devilish action that's ever taken place in the United States. And the kid, the scary thing is, the kid was like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Clears it all up for me now.
Yeah, I mean, and it's
bad. What kind of history is this guy teaching, Daniel?
I believe it's U.S. history or world history, 1900 to current events.
Oh, my God.
11th grade at Independence High School.
Well, if it's happening, can we extrapolate? If it's happening at Independence, you reckon it's happening at Woodrow?
I really have no idea. I don't know the faculty over there.
Right.
But I really just don't understand. There's so much. It seems like just.
I don't know
the inner workings of stuff, but just it seems like there's so much corruption.
Does the principal know about these comments?
I don't believe he does. Don't believe he does.
Do you dare alert anybody to these comments?
We pretty much he's the only person we haven't told, and we're working on that.
What kind of reactions are you getting?
We get from the liberals, you know, like us, we get, my God, you know, how is that possible? From the Republicans, you know, a lot of times we get, oh, well, yeah, that's the truth, or well, that's completely justified. I don't see how murder is justified anytime.
No. Well, I mean, in the law, there's such a thing as justifiable homicide. You know, somebody knocks down your door, they're trying to rape your wife. You can dust them off, and it's not that's justifiable homicide.
Yeah.
This isn't what we're talking about.
Yeah. How can you justify the execution and inhumane torture of completely uncharged, innocent people?
You can't. I mean, that's murder talk.
The closest thing we've done to that is something called the Holocaust.
Yeah. You're right. You know, line them up, mow them down, dig another trench.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand it. It's scary because, like, I know I'm 17 years old, and it seems like there's so much just crap fed to young people nowadays.
Garbage. Pure and utter garbage. And it comes at you from every direction, Daniel.
Uh-huh.
Every direction. So, you know, next year you've got to register for the draft, right?
pretty much it's what the hell's going to say, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're planning on going to college, you're registering for the draft unless somebody's independently wealthy and just going to write a check for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And, you know, with all this corporate welfare crap going on, you know. But,
you know, well, you're the right-wing students there at Independence, are they all gung-ho to go and jump into the meat grinder in Iraq?
See, that's the thing. They think everything's all well and good, but they think, hey, since I'm Republican, you know, the draft will just pass me by if it ever happens. No, that's not the case. The thing they're failing to realize is, even if they're Republican and conservative, if the draft, if Mr. Draft comes along, they're going to be picked up just along with everybody else.
Yeah, well, sure. But, I mean, but these highly patriotic right-wing young Republicans, are you telling me they haven't already signed on the dotted line and they're not just... the pre-inducted and ready to go, and the minute they graduate, by golly, they're heading off to support this war?
I really have no idea. I really have no idea, to be honest with you. It's I just don't get this.
No, I don't either. But I'm so glad you told us about it, Daniel. This is astonishing. I can't believe the taxpayer dollars are being used to support.
To
support the hate with which he's trying to poison your young minds. I mean,
exactly.
Don't let this guy give you an impression on the rest of my generation. We're not all like that, Daniel.
Yeah, I know.
We really aren't. I got to take a break though, Daniel. I sure hope we'll hear from you again.
Oh, you will.
All right, take care. Thanks
too.
Again.
Bye bye.
And when we come back, more of your phone calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Your MacArthur Walmart store will be opening soon, and Walmart is hiring. Join the world's best retailing team, recognized by Fortune magazine as the most admired company in the world. As a member of the Walmart team, you'll receive competitive wages and enjoy benefits including merchandise discount, 401k, stock purchase plan, profit sharing, health benefits, and career advancement opportunities. Just come by Walmart's hiring center located at 158 Dye Drive in the Harper Industrial Park weekdays between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. or call 252-2138. Walmart, an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
Around the block, just up your street, we're the neighbors you should meet. There are lives we live and dreams we share. We drive your streets and we're always there.
No matter how healthy you are, after age 65, you have over a 70% chance of needing some kind of long-term care. That's why you need long-term care insurance from State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. It can help you protect you from the cost of extended care. And who better to talk to about it than your local State Farm agent? For costs and complete coverage details, call agents Regina Eccles in Hinton, or Herb Garlitz in Beckley, or Jerry Gibbons in Summersville. Statistics cited in long-term care. Knowing the risk, paying the price. Health Insurance Association of America, 1997.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head On.
We're back. Thanks for sticking around. Got a line or two open if you want to jump in. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. the little hairs are standing up on the back of my neck after that last phone call from Daniel. Get this straight, in case you missed some of it. Apparently, there's a history teacher out at Independence High School who is teaching our children, you know, students, young people, that what we ought to do is mow down people that we disagree with. Just take them out and shoot them. You know, get your Hitler on. Whatever. This needs a little looking into. Nanette is with us. Hey, Nanette, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
Listen, I called on a different topic, but after listening to Daniel, it brought back a memory of when my daughter was in the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is fifth grade, and that was back during the Reagan years.
Sure.
When we were having trouble with Libya.
Oh, I remember it well, sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, we always had a habit of sitting down at the dinner table together, and she was sitting there, and she wouldn't eat. And big old tears was running down her face.
Oh.
And her daddy kept saying, "What's wrong with you? Talk to us. What's wrong with you?" And she didn't really want to say anything. I think she was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what it all boiled down to is their fifth grade teacher said that they ought to take all the Libyan babies and boil them in oil. So this is nothing new.
Oh, God.
A lot of this stuff goes on in school, Bob. It really does. And I had forgotten about it until Daniel's call.
Oh, that's...
I think parents need to be aware.
Oh, yeah.
Of what they're, you know, what's going on in their child's classroom.
And the thing is, as a parent, it's not all communicating with your child about what is going on in school is not always the easiest job.
Well, I think a lot of times they're afraid.
Well, sure they are.
I mean, what could be the repercussions, you know, of telling mom and dad, you know, hey, my teacher said this or that, you know, and it made it really hard. But we did have a conversation
mm-hmm.
with the teacher, and needless to say, it didn't happen again.
Well, I should hope not.
Well, what I was really calling about
sure.
was whenever you all were talking, you and Mr. Birch were talking about Saddam.
Mm-hmm.
Being found in a house.
Yeah.
And not in a spider hole.
Right.
Do you remember Madeleine Albright, long before the election,
right,
said they had Saddam, but they would just produce him at the most convenient time.
Sharp lady, isn't she?
Yeah.
And I have no doubt of it whatsoever, Nanette.
I heard it on the television.
I thought it was a fraud when I was watching it, and is there anything in this story that makes you think, that gives you pause to believe it wouldn't be true?
Not a thing.
And then the business about the Brave New World?
This scares me.
Yeah, it's yeah, welcome to the fascist state, Nanette. I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart to say it, but we're not becoming a fascist state. We are one. This is what fascists do. They manipulate facts. They manipulate information. And they only let you know what they want you to know. And they swear to you it's true, and they're lying to you the whole blessed time.
Well, I've been really engrossed in the message board.
Oh, I know, and I was so glad to see you coming back.
But they keep saying, well, whose fault is that? These people were elected. I said, but how many dirty tactics were used to get these people elected?
Right. Is it a legitimate election if you do it illegally?
Well, it's just the slime.
Mm-hmm.
That they put on people and everything. It just, I can't think they're all put there on the up and up.
No. No. Who?
And I'm really going to get blasted when I get back on this board.
No, that's
okay.
Well, that, you know, blast back.
I have been, and I try to be nice about it, but.
Some of these people you can't be nice to.
Well, no.
You know, I mean, if you...
Some of them I ignore.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you've been there with the board since day one. And, you know, you know how that... You know what's been done to the tenor of discussion.
Yeah.
And, you know, after a while, you know, mm-hmm. if that's the tenor they want to run at, you know, you're very nice and very sweet about it. But, you know, if they want to get down and wallop, let them go there.
Mm. And I also wanted to talk about Wayne.
Oh, yes, please.
I miss hearing Wayne at night.
He's been a very busy man lately, as far as I can tell.
I know that, but I know that he's also taking some punches.
Yeah.
And I just want him to know that I appreciate him.
We all do.
And I know sitting and listening to my folks talk about the mine wars and been through that, too, it's so far back, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
Where do they think they got their safety regulations in the mines?
Oh, I know.
Where do they think they got all the benefits that they enjoy today?
You know, and how many Republicans do you think there are in this state, Nanette, whose daddies and great-granddaddies were hard-working Democrats and went beneath the earth and risked their lives? Yeah, how many people do you think are turning in their graves to see what their progeny has become?
Well, I'll give you this. My grandfather was in the Battle of Blair Mountain,
mm-hmm.
and he's a staunch Republican.
Really?
Yes.
And he fought on the workers' side.
You better believe he did.
God bless him.
Yes, he did.
But you know that was a Republican of a different day, Nanette.
It really was.
I used to think I knew what they stood for. You know, they being careful with the money. Not making rash decisions, you might not agree with it, but you could at least agree to disagree and respect each other. This crowd you can't respect.
Well, I know that he voted for Herbert Hoover,
mm-hmm.
and during that time they were just nearly on starvation, you know, during the Depression and all, and the election came up and he voted for Hoover, and Daddy said, Poppy, he said, how in the world could you vote for that man? He said, well, it just seemed like the right thing to do.
And sometimes that can bite you.
It sure can. You know, I'm talking about my family, he did fight in the Battle of Blair Mountain. He fought in a lot of my war activities, you know.
Well, I tell you, I was really pleased to see that there is some talk of making Blair Mountain a National Register of Historic Places site.
Yes, I've got some information on that if you want me to send it to you.
Oh, do please.
Okay.
I'd like to know somewhere to voice my support for the idea.
Mm-hmm.
How could it not be a shrine?
It should be.
It's hallowed ground, and it's not the government that hallows it, but we'd better do something about it before Don decides that he wants to blow it up.
Well, it's already been damaged.
Oh, I know, but they haven't gotten it all yet.
No.
And what's left should be saved.
That's right. But I just wanted to call in and remark on what Mr. Birch had said, and when Daniel
That was Chris.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah.
I get confused.
I know. Well, we're growing the family, Nanette.
I know. Isn't it great?
Yes, it is.
But when Daniel started talking, I was sitting here listening, and I thought, dear God, is that still going on?
I think it's not only still going on. My guess is it's getting worse, Nanette.
Well, I think, I'm telling you what, if there's any parents out there listening, you better pay attention to what's going on in your child's school.
I think that is sound advice, Nanette. Thanks so much, and have yourself a great night.
Okay, I'm going back to the board.
All right. Set them up and knock them down, Nanette. Bye now.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, break time. That's just... Do you pay attention? Do your kids come home and just tell you what goes on, or do you have to sort of, ask them? And especially, I'm not being mean, but it's like what I said to Daniel. At that age, you know, you don't necessarily want to engage in a whole bunch of communication with your folks because you're trying to become more of an independent human being. But for God's sakes, you better find out. That teacher is treating high school like it's some sort of little fascist training camp. That's enough to give you the cold sweats in the middle of the night. Hi, kids. I'm here to tell you that murder's okay as long as you don't like them. Whoa. Step back from that one and take a couple of breaths and put a little cool water on the back of the neck. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob from Kate. Thank you.
head on.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Rodell police officer has been arrested on charges of domestic battery and brandishing a weapon involving the mother of his child. Mayor Josephine Cox said Officer Daniel Ray Price from Beckley will be fired. Price turned himself in to Beckley police yesterday after an officer notified him an arrest warrant had been issued. Beckley patrolman J.D. Perry said the charges stem from domestic violence complaints against Price last month, including one incident which occurred at Raleigh General while he was in uniform. Price was released yesterday after posting a $1,000 bond. If convicted, he faces up to 12 months jail or a $500 fine on the domestic battery charge, and up to a year in jail and a fine of up to $1,000 on the brandishing charge. For the second time in a month, a Raleigh County bank was robbed yesterday, and for the second time, the suspect was nabbed. Earl Moore of Glen Rogers allegedly walked into the Whitesville State Bank in Crab Orchard around 10 yesterday morning, waved a gun, and demanded the teller hand over cash. Moore then fled on foot to a Mercury Sable, parked close by, and drove about a half mile before he skidded into a snowy ditch on Selden Street. Leaving the cash in the trunk of the car, Moore walked back to the shopping plaza where the bank is located. He was then arrested by sheriff's detectives about 10 minutes after the robbery. Governor Manchin's highway safety director says he's against any change to West Virginia's mandatory helmet law. Bob Tipton told the Senate Transportation Committee yesterday that anyone involved in highway safety would be opposed to relaxing that law. Governor Manchin has lent his support to attempts to ease the law that would allow motorcyclists to ride without helmets in certain situations. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. For this evening, partly cloudy, and tonight, partly cloudy, there's a chance of snow flurries again after midnight. It's going to be cold again tonight, too, with a low 17. Then for Thursday, partly cloudy, with temperatures only in the upper 30s again tomorrow. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's pet tip. You know, people often say to me, Warren, I've been told that I need to wait for my dog or cat to get a little older before I start their formal education. My belief is the same time it takes for a cat to learn something wrong or a dog to learn a bad habit can be used to create good ones, thus avoiding breaking bad ones to begin with. So remember, start training from the moment your pet comes into the house. Generally, I recommend 8 weeks. Of course, the attention span isn't going to be what it would be when they get older, so 5 or 10 or even 15-minute sessions a couple of times a day really can make a major difference. If you start focusing on your pet's positive behavior and teaching him from day one, you won't have to worry about correcting the bad behavior as your pet gets older. Get the entire family involved, make it fun, make it interesting for the new puppy or the new kitten, and you will find that as the puppy or kitten gets older, people are going to be amazed at how well behaved they are because you never gave them the opportunity to learn how to do things wrong. I'm Warren Eckstein.
With all the recent news about prescription medications, a lot of my friends are concerned about what to take for arthritis pain. I'm not. I'm doing what my doctor told me to do years ago. Take Aleve. He said the active ingredient in Aleve has been trusted by doctors for all-day relief for nearly 30 years. Aleve really works, but don't take my word for it. Ask your doctor if Aleve is right for you.
Aleve. Prescription strength relief without a prescription. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
The holiday taste of Sam's Club is here. Save time and money by shopping for all of your holiday business and home entertaining needs in one convenient stop. Visit the club Friday, November 19th through Sunday, the 21st to sample a variety of delicious food perfect for any occasion. While you're there, you can pick up gifts for your employees, family, and friends. During this busy holiday season, don't miss your chance to shop, sample, and save on all of your business and home entertaining needs at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club, November 19th through the 21st. Sam's Club, we're in business for small business.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, when it comes to lawn care in the winter, it never seems like there's enough I can do to fill my time. Got any ideas for a winter weather project?
It can be tough to find ways to stay busy during the winter, but John Deere suggests getting involved in your local area's environment.
That sounds like a good idea, but where would I start?
Well, many communities offer programs like stream cleanups that help beautify local waterways. And these activities make for great family and school projects. Adopting a stream not only brings people together, but also works to preserve and protect one of our greatest natural resources. So find out what programs are available in your area and get your feet wet, Diane.
Thanks, Bill. I'll check into some opportunities today, as long as I have a nice toasty fireplace to come home to. Tune in next time to Green and Growing for more tips from John Deere.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeed. All right. Back to the phone. Sure, why not? Jack is with us again. Hey, Jack. Jack.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you something, man. I appreciate Independence. It's a great school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a brother taught college in U.S. history and world history.
Right.
This is the first time I heard such thing I've heard.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. But I just want to say my brother was not like that, and he taught in college as a world history and U.S. history.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that. Nothing like that. I enjoy Independence. I don't want to tear them down.
No.
That's a great school.
Yes, it is.
But
it's
I
a
think
wonderful
sometimes
school.
Get, people get... up on stuff at you can't downgrade the school.
No, and that's not. I hope no one thinks I did, but this teacher talking that stuff that kind of makes your hair stand on end, doesn't it?
No, sir, that shouldn't be in class at all. Like no, sir. I enjoy going out there walking. I enjoy walking out there. I like to exercise, but I'm just saying, Daniel. I'm not saying he's wrong, because I'm going to tell you, if you hear something, you better bring it out.
Yeah.
If we got to march the streets about this stuff, we better start doing it.
I think you're right, Jack.
I just want to tell you, my brother was a professional at the college where he did history and U.S. history, world history. But it was nothing like that, buddy.
No.
Well, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Jack. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Nothing like that. What? It makes your head hurt. What would you do if you found out that was your young adult being taught that the solution is murder? What would you do? For my part, I would. I think I can speak on behalf of my lovely wife. We would be in the principal's office the next day. Demanding an explanation. Absolutely demanding an explanation. Murder? Being taught in a classroom? In a public school? Tall order. Mighty tall order. This is a wholesale shifting of gears, but I thought you might want to know about it. We have one good friend of the show who is an over-the-road truck driver, and I think I read stories about things like that, and I relate certain stories to the people who listen to and call this show. I mean, there's a certain kinship that develops, I think. There is a congressman, and apparently the god of irony has been at work again. There is a congressman named John Boozman. He's from Arkansas. He is, of course, a Republican. Bentonville, Arkansas, the home of that smiling yellow Walmart demon logo, lives there. And he's got a new law he wants passed. This is your family-friendly Republican Party, again. He's sponsoring a bill that would allow... Listen, okay? Listen very carefully. Allow a 16-hour workday for truckers. A 16-hour workday for truckers. The only hitch being that he wants them to take a 2-hour unpaid break somewhere along the way. I keep thinking, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not going to be. Then another one comes along. Right now, the rules say that a driver's work day is limited to 14 hours, and only 11 consecutive hours of driving is allowed. The congressman from Walmart, and this is done specifically for Walmart, because Walmart gave Boozman almost $49,000 this year. 2003, 2004, I'm sorry. You know what I mean. And they've decided that they can make another dollar or two if they can make the truckers work 16-hour days. Is that what we want? Are you surprised? Is the mask finally coming off this good-for-nothing, anti-American Republican Party? And, of course, there's another little wrinkle here. This will force truckers to spend more time waiting at the loading dock without getting paid. Walmart never ceases in attempting to find some way to keep from paying people what they're worth. Low prices every day. Low standards every day. Low ethics every day. Low morals every day. Walmart. Wonder what Chinese is for Walmart. I don't know. So Congressman Boozman doesn't think the truckers are on the road enough. That's pretty scary. That's pretty scary. Let's go to the phones. Cherie is with us. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Well, you know, it's those family values that get us in trouble every time. You know, what are we going to do when the driver is exhausted and he falls asleep at the wheel and, you know, he kills us?
Yeah.
That's right. We can't sue, can we?
Nope, sorry.
No. But that's, you know, what's the price of a wiped-out family?
Well, you know, what were they worth?
Exactly. Yeah. Not much.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of middle-class people.
Pretty much. I just wanted to give Ben Birch kudos.
Oh, really?
Excellent site, and he's really good on the boards too.
Yeah, I saw that he's been popping by. He's got things hopping, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And we wanted to give a shout out to Wayne too, and tell him that we're behind him all the way.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's how it all begins. Once we learn to stand together, they can never break us apart.
Pretty much.
They've had us split up for a while. Maybe we're learning enough and figuring out enough, Cherie, that we can tell them they're not allowed to do it anymore.
That's true, and I think that we need to tighten up our party.
Oh.
They're getting frayed around the edge, and there's some of it I don't even care for. I won't back a lame horse.
No, for my part, Cherie, I'm keeping track. Information-wise, I'm keeping track of the people who are calling themselves Democrats and yet doing things that are the last thing a Democrat would ever do. Things like telling West Virginia families that their rights aren't as important as an insurance company's.
Exactly. Wolves in sheep's clothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just wanted to call and say hello and tell you that the boards are going great and look forward to hearing you for a lot longer.
Okay, well, thanks, Cherie. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And lo and behold, I say it, he hears it, it's Gary. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm okay.
I heard you mention the word trucker, and my ears pricked up.
Yeah, I understand. I kind of knew they would if you were around here and not out on the road.
Yeah, so were you saying they're trying to take away somebody's right to sue if somebody gets run over by a truck?
Well, third-party bad faith.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything's covered, you know, whether it's a truck or, a car or whatever, you know.
Yeah, we also touched on this free labor deal.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed how many big corporations you go to, two that really spring to mind real quick are Walmart and Budweiser, that when a trucker gets on their lot, he just basically works for free, absolutely for nothing. And they totally take advantage of guys like that.
Well, tell me what the work is, Gary.
Well, all right, I'll give you an example. Like Fort Collins, Colorado, Budweiser plant. I used to go there all the time.
Okay.
They want you to shrink wrap the product, count the product. They've got this, like these big paper balloons they put in there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to put those in there. You've got a lot of physical work there to do. They've got a fork truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
He strictly drives a fork truck. He's a union guy. He strictly drives a fork truck. Any physical labor whatsoever that's involved, the driver does it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is after he's had to sit there for anywhere from 1 hour to 10 or 12 hours.
And this guy's getting paid by the mile?
This guy's getting paid by the mile. Doesn't make a dime for sitting there for hours and hours and hours. Doesn't get paid nothing. On average, a truck driver will sit, if he's picking up and loading every day, he'll sit around waiting on these people 4 to 8 hours a day. Usually, closer to usually about 4 hours on each end. You have to be there. For example, Budweiser, if you weren't there at your appointment time, say it's 2 o'clock, and you're not there, hey, buddy, see you tomorrow. But now, as far as when they're going to load you, well, we'll get around to you when we can.
Yeah, you're there on time, but, yeah. And, of course, somehow or another, management's making money at this.
Well, another thing, too, you'll say, well, like, they'll say, well, put your CB radio on channel 4, and we'll call you when it's time to load. And you'll say, well, I want to lay down and take a nap. And they say, well, okay, you take a nap, but you better not miss your call. And, you know, they got a guard there that could just run over and bang on your door and say, hey, it's your time to load. But you can't even get any sleep or rest while you're there, hardly.
Why, Gary?
Because they're just, I can't mention it. I can't say it. Okay. I know. You know why.
Yeah, they're the northbound end of a southbound horse.
Yeah, in Walmart, you go into a Walmart distribution facility, they tell you, well, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to tailgate the load. You're lucky if you just got to tailgate it. Usually you got to put it all on pallets and all that kind of stuff. That's how they build these big American corporations, though, is by putting a shaft to somebody. And I tell you, the American truck driver gets it every time. He really does.
I just want to ask you, Gary, do these same rules apply if, say, you're a union trucker with the Teamsters?
Well, they do, but see, the union takes care of you. I mean, the union won't let you be treated that way. I mean, a union truck driver, so let me put you this way, a union truck driver will usually make twice what a non-union driver makes, and will go through half the jump, half the time.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize these guys are working 16, 18, sometimes 20 hours a day. I mean, that's normal. Every day, 7 days a week, that's what you do.
Right.
I had one run, with not this company, but the last company I was with before, 21 straight hours. And I'll tell you, it was a killer. I mean, you were heading out of Indiana, you were picking up in Indiana at various sites all day long, then you had to go to Salem, Virginia. And I'll tell you, you talk about getting sleepy and tired on the way there.
Oh, mercy.
But it's one of them kind of deals, you had better not be late. This is one of our most important value customers. We get a regular run out of them every day, or, you know, more than, you know, might get 5 or 10 regular runs out of them. You had better not be late. And so there's all this pressure, and now if you mess up and are late or, you know, do anything at all to make it mad, they'll start making life rough on you.
Sure.
One example, I got a dispatcher mad one day, and he put me on a 50-mile Walmart run, come think of it. I ran 50 miles all day and spent all day messing around with Walmart. And my pay for 50 miles was like $15.
For a day's labor.
Yeah, see, but truck drivers are exempt from wage and hour laws.
Right.
And why anybody would be exempt from wage and hour laws, I don't know. I mean, anybody.
Oh, I know. It's you know, waitresses only make, what, $2 an hour because they make tips? There's nobody out there tipping the truckers, is there?
Well, even the waiters and waitresses, believe me, there are places where they don't get tipped. Now, I've been a waiter in my life.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't exactly a waiter. I was like a cook, a waiter, you know, the one kind of deals.
Some chief cook and bottle washer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't always get those tips. In fact, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's just a way for rich people to go ahead and exempt them from regular rules of society so they can just basically put it to the little guy. And that's what made me so mad about Ronald Reagan. As a person who had worked in restaurants, the first people he goes after is the waiters and waitresses claiming they're not paying their fair share and all. Remember that?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. I mean,
that
was his first act.
And see, well, I'm glad you're talking about this issue, though, Gary, because for those who don't have someone near to them or a friend or something who can tell them about the business, there are a lot of people who the only thing they think about a truck driver is, well, you know, the guy sits behind the wheel of that big old semi and he goes back and forth and, you know, that's the end of it.
It's a very brutal life. In fact, your average truck driver dies about 15 years earlier than average, than most people. Most of them die in their mid-50s. I mean, if just go in and walk around a truck stop and look at these guys, you'll see what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but Gary, most people don't realize what goes on at the loading loading dock or anything.
Well, see what happens. You get some guy, he goes to one of these schools, and all of a sudden he's making $500-$700 a week, which is more money than he ever made working at the 7-Eleven store. He goes out and gets in a little bit of debt. His wife has a baby. Next thing you know, he's in it and he can't get out of it.
Yeah.
You see, most of them have no other job skills whatsoever, and they don't have nothing else to fall back onto.
Well, you know, I last night was no pleasant evening to be on the road as I left here, Gary.
Yeah.
Couldn't see the middle line, couldn't see the edge line. You know, the only way you knew you were going off to the right was when you started hitting that burr, on the berm.
Yeah, I was on 64 coming in from Virginia last night. I don't know what you're talking about. It was not that nice.
And yet, I'm, like I said, I used to raise hell on the roads, but I got kids now and I don't do it anymore. I can't. But yet, by the same token, and I was thinking about you because this semi came past me. I'm puttering along, feeling like I'm flying at 45 on this 45 miles an hour on this skating rink that is US 19.
Uh-huh.
A guy in a semi passes me, had to be doing 70 miles an hour.
Well, okay, this is another aspect of this here problem. What you get is so many of these guys get out there and they go to truck driving school and they try it. They find out right away they're just not built to do 15, 20-hour days to stay away from their family for weeks at a time. So they stay in there 2 or 3 months and they quit. Most people don't realize most of these guys driving trucks up and down the road are rookies.
Really?
Believe me.
And nobody's standing behind them. No union brotherhood, no nothing.
No, I mean, and these guys most of them don't have very much experience. If you look at a truck driver and you say, well, that guy's been driving 20 years, well, maybe he's been driving for, if you're lucky, 2 years, if you're lucky. I mean, it's just amazing. There's just no retention there.
Well, from a safety standpoint, Gary, say you got 6 inches of snow on the ground, something like that. The state road hasn't been out, hasn't salted, cindered, anything like that. Is it such that the weight of a tractor trailer full, that it's so heavy that snow and ice are not an issue?
Let me tell you something, Bob. That guy that passed you doing 70 miles an hour is an idiot. And if the world were the type of place it should be, he would no longer have a driver's license.
Okay. I thought maybe I was just being sort of about it.
You see that every day. They're out there. They do pedal to the metal, 70, 80 mile an hour, no regard whatsoever for the road conditions. And that's what you get when you get a business where you get nothing but turnover. It's nothing but rookies out there because they've made it such a horrible job.
Whatever happened to the Teamsters?
Well, there's hardly any. I mean, Teamsters represent a very small number of American truckers. There's over 2 million truckers in America, and I don't know how many of the Teamsters represent, but it's not very many. And sadly enough, now I hate to say this, but most truckers are anti-union. And why, I don't know. It's just the dumbest thing on God's green earth.
Well, back when we were having the coal truck debate a couple of years ago, I'm sure you remember it very well.
Oh, yeah.
And, I kept hearing that these poor guys are getting paid by the ton.
Yeah.
Well,
they're working. Well, I was just offered a job here a couple of weeks ago, and basically it's about 14 hours a day, hauling coal. I mean, I don't want to work 14 hours a day.
No.
But that's how you've got to do it. I mean, that's actually a good day in behind the wheel of a truck, 14 hours.
But I kept thinking, if
that's what you have to do to make a living.
Yeah.
If you try to get out there and work 8 hours a day, you're going to make McDonald's wage.
Well, and see, the con runs even deeper, Gary, because a lot of these coal companies have their own coal trucks.
Yeah.
But they create artificial entities whereby what they'll do is they will technically sell the truck to the driver.
Yeah.
And then that makes him, and then make him be responsible for paying his own workers' compensation.
Yeah.
And yet the coal company is still the one writing the check, telling him when to pick up, where to pick up, where to drop it off. It's a complete fraud on the workers' comp system.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, these guys know more loopholes out there. It's just amazing. I mean, just like with Walmart instructing its employees how to go out and draw government benefits because they're not being paid enough.
Right.
It's just a fraud from one end to the other, but I guess that's how they got big.
Well, I mean, keep an eye on it. I found this at CNN.com. The title of the piece is Retailers Want 16-Hour Trucker Workday. And critics are calling it Sweatshop on Wheels.
It's exactly. Let me tell you something, Bob. God is my witness. For the years that I was over the road, what it boiled down to, it was a daily endurance contest. How long can I go? How hard can I go? How far can I go? And it's like they've got it figured out, just how to max you out to your maximum physical endurance. And that's, if you work just till you're about ready to drop dead, then that's about what they consider a good work day, and then get up and go do it again, go do it again, go do it again, and it never ends.
Right, and if the poor guy gets in a wreck, and it's his fault, first of all, the company will barbecue it.
Exactly.
And secondly, you know, I mean, come on, look at this third-party law that's going through right now.
Well, see, what the last trucking company, and I work for a good company now, and they do not do that type of stuff. I mean, believe me, I get plenty of rest. And, mm-hmm. I work for an in-house carrier. You understand what I'm saying? It's not one of these freight hauling outfits.
Right.
But what they will do, they will have a safety department, and the safety department will be very, very strict. And they'll send you letters out for any violation or infraction they can find whatsoever. And what they do, they use it as evidence that they're running a good company. But on the other hand, the dispatch department is doing everything they possibly can to encourage you to break the law.
Is there any truth, and I'm not talking about what you do now, but is there any truth to that old business about two sets of books?
Oh, or three. I used to come back from Oregon running a reefer, you know, Oregon, California. Yeah, we'd run three sets of log books. But that's what you had to do. Because, you know, you got 3 days to get back at 3,000 miles, and you have no way in the world you can do that legal.
And
these reefer drivers, these guys, these refrigerated trucks, that's a way of life for them. Well, that's just part of the course every day.
Yeah, it's an invitation to an early grave. And I think one of the things that gets under my skin the most out of all this, Gary, is the fact that what we're doing is, you know, we're making, because of the greed of the bosses, we're making criminals out of the workers.
Exactly. And it is just simply greed. And they get these guys in a position where they have to do this. Well, when I say have to, I don't suppose you absolutely have to, but you know, if you're a guy with no education or no job skills, and you've got a chance to make, you know, a pretty decent middle class living, you're not going to easily give that up. You might have to work yourself to death, but you're going to keep it up because most likely you got somebody depending on you.
Well, I tell you what, keep an eye on this thing. I don't have a bill number or anything, but keep an eye on it because, you know, what they can do to, believe me, they might have a limited group of people they want to do this to, but in order to get to them, they're going to do it to everybody, Gary.
Well, it's just like this minimum wage deal coming up right now. I cannot believe how they're trying to hem and haw over this minimum wage deal. You know, back in 1983, minimum wage, it was $3.35 an hour.
I remember it well.
That's been 22 years ago. You know, for just even that paltry amount to keep pace with inflation, what would it have to be? It has to be about $9 or $10 an hour,
sure,
just to keep pace with inflation.
Yep.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not. No, you're absolutely not. And yet these guys holler, well, you know, you'll price workers out of the market. Well, they'll only price workers out of the market as a function of greed.
Well, what they want us to do, they just want us to work probably for a buck an hour. That, well, you know this Mexican trucker deal is coming up, don't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
They pay them guys a third of what they pay American truckers.
50 cents a day, yeah.
Well, they can go back home and actually they're paying them, let's see, they'll make about $50 a day, actually.
But that $50 a day goes a lot further in Sonora.
Well, I was talking to a person today, and they told me that an American dollar down there is worth like $9. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that it goes a heck of a lot farther than it does here.
We may be in the wrong racket, Gary, but we're out of time, man. Thanks for answering my questions. I was kind of hoping.
Thanks,
Bob. All right, take care.
You too.
Out of here. It's the end. We'll be back tomorrow night, Thursday night, same time, 7:00. The show tonight, of course, produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Skye, engineered by Randy Kerbway. Thanks for helping with the phones, Randy. We appreciate it. And announced at least in part by Brian Reznor. Brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our good friends, the West Virginia Pipe Trades. Meanwhile, if you'd like to go back and check out the show or some other night's show, go to whiterosesociety.org, where Ben Birch archives us every night. We're thankful for that as well. We got a lot to be grateful for. Hey, Agnes.